genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you'll want to keep that number handy because we're going to be having a giveaway for two sandwiches or two salads from Urbane Cafe a little bit later in the show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is caution and precaution. Each of my guests will explain why we should be cautious or take precautions in his or her subject. My first guest is a financial reporter who investigates the least reported aspect of the financial crisis, the collapse of American International Group, sometimes known as AIG. We'll look at the reasons behind why taxpayers now own 92% of AIG from his book, Fatal Risk. My second guest is a hospice worker who will help us shatter the myth that death is sad and horrible. We'll examine what she's learned from years of consulting dying people from her latest book, Dying to Live, Embracing the Journey. My third guest is a licensed financial planner and author. He's the CEO of Apex Behavioral Solutions and Apex Behavioral Financial Groups. He'll share with us his prescription for money sanity from his book, Money Makes Me Crazy. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Roddy Boyd, is an investigative reporter who has worked for Fortune Magazine, The New York Post, The New York Sun, and Institutional Investor News. He now writes for thefinancialinvestigator.com, an original financial investigative reporting website that he founded and which he writes for free. His first book is titled Fatal Risk, A Cautionary Tale of AIG's Corporate Suicide on the Collapse of AIG. Joining us, hi Roddy, how are you doing today?
Hey Bill, it's great to be here. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you for being our special guest here and talking about a subject that very few people know a lot of the details behind it. We've all heard of AIG, we've all heard of the collapse, but very few people know the details, and that's why I brought you on the show to help clarify some of these things. But let's start at the beginning, shall we? I mean, at this point in time, most of the institutions that were deemed too big to fail have repaid all or part of the money that they owe us, the taxpayers, that we use to bail them out. And I say all or most, but not all of them have paid it back. Among the institutions that have not paid the taxpayers back is AIG. Now, how did we get to the point where AIG and Americans had to bail out a company of this size and stature?
Well, boy, that's a stem wonder. It takes about 310 pages to answer. In brief, though, let me just say they simply put got too big in about 25 different areas, everything from insurance to hedge funds to real estate to, frankly, when you're talking about insurance, oftentimes, you know, the way insurance companies actually make their money isn't by issuing policies to the likes of sane, sober, safe-minded people such as yourself and your audience. They take your premiums and invest them in what are purported to be highly rated bonds. And sometimes, in AIG's case, they get a little too greedy and put those premium dollars into less safe, less liquid security. So, I mean, the whole place just got too big, coupled with an absolute worst timing possible corporate shift at the top in 2005. So, I mean, it's an awful tale about how a classic American company simply just collapsed. I just rank stupidity, quite frankly.
Well, it's a very interesting story, and you sort of glossed over the change at the top, and I want to come back and talk to about that, because to me, the change at the top was really one of the best examples in business of unintended consequences of a good action. So let's talk about that change at the top. From what I understand about it is this, that Hank Greenberg was the head of AIG, a Wall Street legend in his own right. However, got caught up in some things and was charged by then, New York Secretary
General,
Elliot Spitzer, of fraud against AIG. And so eventually Hank Greenberg gets ousted. So talk to me about the domino effect, the chain of events that led from 2005 to the idiocy that you talk about at AIG's faltering back in 2007.
Sure. Excellent point to the thesis of unintended consequences. I mean, I'm convinced that future academics and historians of high caliber will reference this 10 generations from now when they talk about unintended consequences. And what happened was Hank Greenberg had built this incredible company, and starting around 2000-2001, as the culture changed, corporate missteps and shenanigans tended to take on a legal aspect, not just the class action ambulance chaser sorts that, you know, all of us dismiss, but the cutting of a corner three or four levels below you in a division and far off and far flung started to take on legal ramifications. In other words, you would get, you know, the federal government or state attorney general would be very very concerned about that. And AIG got nailed a few times. And they were complicated accounting-driven maneuvers basically designed to earn money in the gray areas of corporate accounting where the rules are fairly murky. Comes 2005, and Elliot Spitzer, it was an absolute crusader of an attorney general, a holy warrior, he liked to proclaim himself, cleaning up the world, even though he was appointed, he was elected an attorney general, not sort of a omnibus kind of god in charge of all corporate endeavor, but he files a claim against AIG that is incredibly wide-ranging, and the minute it hits the press, he starts working the media back channel. Full disclosure, I was one of the reporters he started calling, proclaiming all manner of the most vile violations that you can do in a business. And Hank Greenberg, who's, again, legendary CEO of AIG, his board is looking at stuff like Enron. They're looking at WorldCom, where the authorities and lawyers went after the board members themselves, not just, you know, depose them in the heartaches of corporate, you know, legal battles, but they actually were forced to divest large percentages of their net worth for failing to oversee, you know, legendary corporate scams. And those guys, based on Spitzer's record at that time, panicked, and they said, you know, Hank, you got to leave, or we got to transition you out of there. Well, that was okay, because Hank was just going to stay on the board, be the largest shareholder, and going to oversee the guy taking the position from him. A guy named Martin Sullivan is an AIG lifer, an incredible insurance executive, but knew nothing about finance. And I mean that. I can't overstate that. He knew nothing about finance. The problem is that AIG's bottom line was driven 40% by finance. They had financial operations in the company at that time that were almost 30% larger than Lehman Brothers.
Wow.
I mean, it was massive. And Spitzer, you know, that's not good enough for him. He seems to have made up a charge out of whole cloth, in 2005 about, you know, allegedly destroying documents, and used it to force Spitzer out of the company. Ms. Greenberg out of the company. And I mean, at that point, you know, the guy who kind of built that company, who I call him the crazy professor who knew where every last paper was, even though you walk into his office and it's, you know, oh, hey, Frank, oh, yeah, there's your term paper right there. Yeah, I'll give you a B+, but, yeah, it's incredible. He knew everything and everybody, and I go into that in the book. The problem was is that he was the only guy that knew everything and everybody. And a classic study in having a succession plan, in having a deep bench, in keeping people on the junior varsity ready to step up and fulfill roles. And you know, for the first year, 15, 18 months, it goes incredibly. AIG books earnings that shattered all, you know, insurance and financial sector records. And, you know, people were looking at Martinville, here comes legend number two. We can't lose. Except, you know, the problem with markets is that, you know, and that's what Sullivan inherited. He inherited an incredible company because AIG was a very high-rated company that could borrow short very cheaply, short duration. And they simply took that short, cheap borrowings, those loans, and invested them in long-dated, higher-yielding mortgage-backed securities. Problem was, anything happens to the mortgage market, the bond market, or more importantly, housing prices nationally. And because, you know, AIG had turned itself into one large, highly levered hedge fund with some insurance operations on the side. And that's a big, big problem because the guy running it, you know, he knew what a bond was, but I feel fairly confident saying he wouldn't really know much of a difference between, let's say, a savings bond and a mortgage bond.
And you're referring there to
a bad man. It just makes him a guy who shouldn't be running a company that had, you know, a $1.3 trillion with a T, trillion-dollar balance sheet.
That's right. My guest is Roddy Boyd, author of the book Fatal Risk, A Cautionary Tale of AIG's Corporate Suicide. So, Roddy, the bigger question that historians are going to ask over and over again, you know, the list of characters that we've just talked about, it sort of reads like a who's who of the meltdown. Hank Greenberg, Elliot Spitzer, Hank Paulson's involved, Martin Sullivan, even the Securities and Exchange Commission under George W. Bush. But the question historians are going to ask is this: was AIG's fall a catalyst for the downfall of the entire financial system, or was it a symptom of the financial system's collapse?
I would say it was a symptom of the financial system's collapse. I would also call it, and again, I'm not trying to pitch or shuck and jive my own book here, but I would call it the fulcrum of the crisis in that within AIG's collapse, you were looking at the crisis evolving into a panic, and from a panic into a depression. And I realize at this point where I seem like I'm talking about like emergency response to escalating domestic dispute, but it's not that. It's AIG had done something horrific in that, and it was only revealed, you know, and they concealed this from the regulators fairly brilliantly. And the regulators being, regulators, paid poorly, over outgunned and understaffed, didn't catch it. Is under, starting under, Sullivan, they had taken their life insurance company's, investments, which were all in like IBM bonds, U.S. government securities, other AAA, AA plus bonds, you know, really safe, secure stuff. They had swapped those out in some satanic, you can't even believe me, gonna go have to read it for yourself type scheme. The debacle where they lent those bonds out to hedge funds and Wall Street firms and took in cash collateral and then invested that collateral in the most sort of nausea inducing mortgage securities you could get that had like 20-year lives. And so when that market collapsed, everything that they had paid 100 cents on the dollar for suddenly went to 40 cents on the dollar. And to make all of this shorter and uglier, America was going to find out right quick that when we collectively drove into a mailbox or had a fire or, you know, much more seriously, someone passed away, and their estate needed to be settled up and an insurance check needed to be cut, there was pennies on the dollar there.
Oh, boy.
In other words, they had taken those life insurance companies that I would imagine one out of every five Americans has some exposure to, were not going to be able to fulfill their obligations. Now, that's tragic on the American citizen or consumer worldview, but then you got to take that one step beyond. Again, I spoke to the people at the Federal Reserve. I spoke to the people at the Treasury. They had no idea this was going on. More's the pity. I'm sure they still don't, you know, for the next crisis. The globe's largest insurer of aviation, commercial and private, and marine transport, by an order of magnitude, they were the largest shipping insurer. Pipelines, all that stuff, was AIG. So those policies get, you know, an insurance company that goes bankrupt, those policies are immediately, oftentimes, put in risk. And you're talking about people in, you know, the Baltic not being able to ship grain. The Middle East, Nigeria, Texas, Alaska, North Sea, not shipping crude. You're talking about not being able to fly from, you know, L.A. to San Francisco. Obviously, I don't want to be hysterical. I mean, people, those companies would have gotten other insurance. They just would have had to take about a day or two to get more insurance. It would have cost a lot more, and global trade would have been messed up for, I'm guessing, 30, 60, 90 days. And it's bad for America, but, you know, we forget how affluent we are. When you talk about, you know, the Baltic, you know, Estonia, Latvia, you know, these guys price their stuff at narrow margins. So if they're not able to ship grain, which is not what you call a huge profit maker in the best of times.
Right.
When they have to pay 30 cents more on the dollar for insurance, well, I mean, that's. You're looking at inflation. You're looking all that was going to.
It would be devastating on the world economy, Roddy.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at an absolute knife across the throat of the global economy.
Absolutely,
and the knife was getting drawn. I mean, it was going to slit us. Well, it was going to be a really bad situation.
My guest is Roddy Boyd, author of the book Fatal Risk: A Cautionary Tale of AIG's Corporate Suicide. Roddy, if people listening to the sound of your voice want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Well, I set up a free investigative reporting site where I look at companies that are, you know, maybe not telling their full story in financial filings. It's called www.thefinancialinvestigator.com. You know, I just kind of put out some free investigative reporting there on a variety. I actually have a story coming out in a day or two that I'm actually pretty proud of. And then, you know, of course, always Amazon, Barnes & Noble for the book, .com. Or the stores, of course, the stores.
And, of course, our own local Bank of Books, two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Roddy, it's a complex story, but you make it very sensible for the reader. We appreciate that. Thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Be safe.
Thanks.